Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure to be with you. It's always a pleasure. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And it's easy to do. And if you decide you don't like it, if it's not what you want, you can unsubscribe. You can actually do it yourself. We make it easy on you. And if you want to join us, you can join us. And if you want out, it's easy to get out. So check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget all the other things you can do there at our website. And that's jbsba.com, including listen to the show three different ways, live, replay, and archives. Dr. William Duckenberg is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Bill is a professor of economics at the School of Business and Management at Temple University, where he at one time served as the dean of that fine establishment back in the 80s and the 90s. And he's now he is also the chief economist for the National Federation of Independent Business. And once a month, he polls hundreds, if not thousands, of small business owners all across the country to find out what's going on out there where the rubber meets the road, where you and I are out here making payroll and buying and selling and doing our best. He talks to us and asks us what's going on, and he reports to us that report once a month. Bill Duckenberg, welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure, Jim. How are you doing this morning?
Doing great. It's good to have you back, Bill. What are our heroes telling us this month?
Well, they're telling us that they remain quite optimistic. We've had 17 months now where the index of small business optimism has been substantially above 100 or at 100. And, of course, that clued us in, you know, quite a while ago that the economy was really going to pick up pace. So our small business owners were right as usual. The economy really did pick up pace. And overall, we're looking pretty good.
So, in your opinion, small business owners are a pretty good bellwether of how the economy's doing. Is that what you're saying?
Sure, they are. Well, of course, according to the government statistics, our small businesses out there produce half or more of the private sector GDP. So, you know, if our people are doing well and telling us they're doing well, then it's likely that the economy is going to be doing well.
And we sign over half of the front of over half of the paychecks in America. So, Bill, one of the things that I've been, it's close to 60%, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like 60. Well, it's probably over 60%.
Yeah.
Using the SBA definition of a small business.
Mm-hmm. Now, so, Bill, when I make the bold statement, which I like to do from time to time, that what's good for small business is good for America and, in fact, the world, that's really not that much hyperbole, is it?
Absolutely not. That has to be true. Certainly all the job generation seems to come from small businesses. So you don't see GM growing in employment or General Electric or the big companies. It's not that they're bad, but they're very capital intensive. So the Fortune 500 employs relatively few people, even though they make a lot of output. But then you get, of course, into the service sector and so on. That's our domain, and that's the labor intensive activity. And so the growth in employment really comes from our little firms going from 1 to 5 to 10 to 20 employees. That's where mm-hmm. we get the growth.
Speaking of employees, what did your respondents tell you about their hiring plans?
Well, that looks really good. We had a 4-point increase in the percent of firms planning to increase employment, that is to create new jobs. We had well over half. We had like 55% over the past 3 months actually trying to hire or actually hiring somebody. But the question we ask is not, are you going to hire or not? Because often you hire for replacement purposes. The question we ask is, do you plan to increase or decrease the total number of people working for you? Mm-hmm. So that gives us the job creation number. And so 19% is one of the highest numbers we've ever seen. You have to go back to 2000 to get numbers that are that high. So that was very, very optimistic perspective on the economy if you're willing to go higher like that.
So if small business is, in fact, the net new job generator of the economy, and we get this kind of a report in, that really bodes well for the coming quarters, doesn't it, in the economy?
It certainly does. You know, we use these numbers, that plus the job openings number, to forecast the unemployment rate. And, of course, we have the unemployment rate continuing to go down because the economy strengthens. We noticed that in the August survey, our firms reported hiring on average 0.3 of a worker, a new worker per firm, which is about double what we usually see. So we weren't surprised to see a much better number when the August report came out, and we expect that to be revised up when they finally get around to counting all of us little guys out there.
Right. All right, we're coming up on a break here, Bill, and we're going to take that right now. And folks, when we come back, I'm going to ask Bill Duncanberg to tell us what you said, what small business owners said about their spending plans. What are they planning on, beefing up their capital or not? And we're going to do that right after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Whatever you do, don't go away.
And then the man steps right up to the microphone. He says it lasts just as the time bell rings.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend, Dr. William Duncanberg, Chief Economist for the NFIB and Professor of Economics at the School of Business and Management at Temple University. And, you know, and folks, in addition to just to give you a little bit of a background on Bill's small business pedigree, he, in addition to having served as the dean of the School of Business and Management at Temple, he also was the director of the Center for Advancement and the Study of Entrepreneurship. And Bill, so we thank you for all your service over the years on behalf of small business owners.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure. That's where all the fun is.
It is, isn't it? It's fun. It's fun working with small business owners. No question about it. And you know, the interesting thing about working with small business and being in small business is you never nod off in the middle of the day. You know
right.
What I mean? It's too exciting. You don't nod off in this part of the marketplace. Bill, what did your folks tell you about their capital spending plans? How's that looking?
Well, that's really looking pretty good. It actually drifted down a few points from the reading we had in July. But nonetheless, from an historical perspective, you know, we like the number. We have 29% planning to make capital outlays over the next 3 months or so. And we had over 60% reporting actual capital outlays over the last 6 months. So, you know, we're not burning down the doors here making capital outlays. But then again, you don't want things to be at the extreme anyway. You like just solid numbers moving forward. When things move too fast, you have problems, just like when things move too slow. Too slowly. So, you know, so it's not a bad number. We'll see how it picks up, whether it picks up or not in September.
We saw what happened when capital spending got overheated in 1999, didn't we? We wound up with a three-year depression in
capital
spending.
Yeah, if you overbuild, you know, whenever you go too fast, you create what we economists call a disequilibrium, an imbalance in things. And, of course, those have to be corrected. So, you know, if you move at a nice, steady, solid pace, you don't create these imbalances that then cause the economy to veer off course at some time in the future. So we like that. On the inventory side, of course, the government reported yesterday that the build in inventories was finally a substantial number. And, you know, in the last 3 or 4 months, we've seen near record levels in our plans to add inventory. So our guys said they planned to add inventories, and by golly, the government said mm-hmm. they did it. Finally.
Well, you know, Bill, I'm with you and have been saying this as well for a long time. That is this trend that we're now on, this expansion that I think we're firmly in my opinion, is going to be longer and stronger if we can just build it one little solid step at a time, rather than some kind of a breakout, which is kind of what we had in the late 90s. But in a political year, some people have a way of spinning what's happening into lackluster. And the truth is, it's just solid healthy, isn't it?
That's my perspective, and most of my colleagues seem to share that view. Some people are worried that, you know, we slowed down some from the first part of the year. We grew GDP at around a 4.5% annual rate, which is very, you know, very, very strong rate. I'm really happier to see it growing, you know, at the 3 to 3.5 rate, because again, things don't get out of whack. It doesn't require somebody to be pedaling too fast in order to get that 4 to 4.5%. So I like it solid. The economy never goes anywhere in a straight line anyway, so I don't mind going from 4.5 down to 3 and then hopefully up to around 3.5 in this quarter. That's not bad. That's just fine.
Well, and you know, when small business owners, back to the hiring thing a minute, one of the things about small business owners, we're pretty darn deliberate about hiring people. We wait till we absolutely have to have those folks. And one of the reasons is because it really bothers us to have to lay somebody off. I mean, when people come into our small businesses, oftentimes they become part of the family in a lot of ways, seemingly. And so it's hard to let those folks go. And so we're pretty deliberate about that. And so whenever a small business owner hires someone, that's not only a good economic sign, that's a good emotional sign, isn't it?
That's right. And, of course, it's also expensive to hire and let go quickly because the state employment agencies watch your hiring and firing, and, of course, it changes your rating, and you have to pay more in unemployment taxes.
Right.
So you're supposed to plan this stuff fairly carefully. We don't do anything, I think, shooting from the hip. That's not what small business does.
Mm-mm.
A lot of commentators wonder why the tax credit on capital spending, for example, hasn't caused more of an increase in capital spending in our numbers. And my response always is, look, you're giving us a discount on the truck, but we still won't buy the truck unless we need it.
That's right.
So a cheap truck, or a cheaper truck that we just park in the driveway is not going to be helpful to us. So.
That's not going to happen. Speaking of that, now remind me, do the increase in direct expensing, does that end if they don't extend it this year, or is it next year?
The end of this year.
That's what I thought. I told somebody that the other day, and they argued with me about that. It's this year. What's the chances? This is where currently you can direct expense up to $102,000 a year, as long as you're profitable. You can direct expense that rather than depreciate. It's just an accelerated depreciation schedule, basically. Bill, what are the chances that that's going to get extended?
Well, it's possible that it would be extended. If President Bush is reelected and it doesn't look like Congress's makeup is going to change much, it probably will be extended.
Well, that'll have to happen, though, pretty quickly after the election, then, won't it?
It will. That's right. But, they can always be a little retroactive. There's no reason why, for example, in April they can't.
What I'm getting at is, what's that going to do to some kind of end-of-year spending? And when we come back after these messages, I'd like to get your thoughts on that. And also when we come back, folks, we're going to get Bill to tell us about how profits and wages are looking. And I want to get Bill to tell us what's the impact of the hurricanes on the national economy. And we're going to do that right after these messages. It's 10 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
As I walk along, I wonder.
We're back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And Bill Dunkelberg is our guest, Dr. William Dunkelberg, the chief economist for the NFIB and professor of economics as well professor of economics at the School of Business at Temple University in beautiful Philadelphia. Bill, the inventory thing, just to come back to that for just a minute, I just want to pat small business owners on the back a little bit because of this. As we know, small business owners create over half of the economy, half of the GDP of the United States, and more small business owners are practicing the very smart management practice of just-in-time inventory rather than just-in-case. And the more small business owners do that, every year that goes by helps this economy be less susceptible to dangerous recessions. Would you agree with that?
That's certainly the case. The last great inventory swing we saw, of course, was back, I think, in 74-5 when inflation was picking up and people thought, gee, if I put inventory on my shelves, and I pay a dollar for it tomorrow, I can sell it for $2. And so there was a huge inventory buildup. And then, of course, suddenly we had too much inventory. And when everybody sold it off, we got a recession.
Right.
We don't
want to
do that.
A major recession. Right.
Right.
And then a couple of more in a few years in the early 80s, bam, 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 right, back to back. So I just want to congratulate small business owners
on the part that they're playing in helping us to manage the overall inventory of the nation, and by doing it through just-in-time rather than just-in-case. Just-in-time is a winner. Just-in-case is a loser. And I want you to think about that, folks, as the glow of my praise washes over you. Bill, talk to us for a minute about wages and profits.
Well, profits were looking pretty good. We had the last 3 or 4 months have been really good, some of the best profit numbers that we've seen. Again, we talk about profits. The question we ask is not are you making money or not, but are your profits growing or shrinking? And that's a very different question. Obviously, you can have high profits and then they're not growing, but you're still making a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So the question for the last 3 or 4 months has indicated that we've had real strength in profit growth, which has been very good. We were down a little bit in August compared to July, but nonetheless, from an historical point of view, the numbers are looking very good. Profit growth is still pretty solid, so we're in very good shape on the profit side. Part of that, of course, is because we've been able to raise prices. It always helps to be able to raise prices. But the percentage of firms raising their prices fell almost 10 points in July and stayed there in August. So that's a good sign in one sense from the CPI inflation perspective. We won't see so much pressure on prices and the inflation numbers, but of course, if you're not raising prices, it's a little harder to make money, so that'll slow the profit growth down.
Right, and then of course, you can't talk about profits without talking about fuel, without talking about the energy prices, which
yeah.
is really, I mean, we'd really be having a lot of fun this year if gasoline were closer to $1.40 instead of $1.90.
Well, it would that would help a little bit. Certainly, you know, the rising energy prices is you know, like a tax. You're just paying more for the same thing, and so we've been doing that. And we have a rule of thumb that says every dollar increase in the barrel price of oil is about a $5 billion tax increase. So we've gone from the low 20s to the mid 20s to the mid 30s. So there's been a good and a sustainable $10 swing.
How about the mid-40s, Bill?
Well, we've been there for a while, but then again, that's in the futures market. So, you know, notice that hasn't been really showing up at the,
right.
at the pump lately.
Yeah.
So you have to be a little careful about looking at those numbers. If they stay there so that the actual spot prices, you know, stay in the 40s, then, of course, you've got a lot more. So you could argue that we have had between $50 and $100 billion oil tax hike
right.
on the economy, and that certainly slows it down. And, of course, the flip side of that is if oil prices fall, why you get tax cuts. And
mm-hmm.
that'll be
which I'm anxious to start accruing. But, Bill, we've got a little bit less than a minute. Talk to us about the impact of all these hurricanes on the national economy.
Sure.
Never mind Florida and the Southeast. What about the national economy?
Well, of course, Florida's a big economy, so that counts. And other states have been involved, too. There's lots of damage. There are two effects, one I call the P&L effect. That is when people run, they're not spending their money in your stores and so on. So lots of, you know, millions of people have been moving and not shopping. And
right.
obviously that's going to have a noticeable impact on retail sales and on the employment numbers and so on. Absolutely. On the balance sheet side, of course, we've taken a real hit. Your home has been wiped out. Your business has been wiped out. But going forward, there's going to have to be a lot of construction workers from around the country moving into Florida and the surrounding states to rebuild all that. A lot of job
right.
generating going to happen, and that'll be good news.
Well done, Bill. That's an amazing tour of how hurricanes impact the economy in 40 seconds. Nobody in the world could have done that besides Bill Dunkelberg. Bill, thank you for being here. Good job today.
My pleasure, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Dr. William Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, chief economist for the NFIB. Their website is NFIB.com, by the way. I'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.